The Red Sox stay undefeated in spring training, but does it really matter? I'm going to discuss this with Red Sox beat writer from MLB.com, Ian Brown.
You are Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome you back into the Locked On Red Sox podcast. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. I'm your host, Jake Nizuski. And today we are joined by a very special guest and Red Sox beat writer for MLB.com, Ian Brown. And him and I discuss the Red Sox staying undefeated in spring training. It doesn't really matter, as well as discuss some of the positional battles and much, much more. Let's get into my conversation with Ian Brown. Beat writer for MLB.com, Ian Brown. So, Ian, I wanted to start off. We see the Red Sox undefeated so far in spring training, and I wanted to get your thoughts on, does it really matter?
I don't think it matters that much, but it's better than having lost every game, you know? So I do think that this team, I think they're going to be a little better than people think. I think they have a little more depth than people know. They're not like a team that's going to blow you away looking at the names on the roster, but I think they have a lot of good serviceable players. They have good roster depth. They're more functional than they were last year, especially in the bullpen. So it's going to be interesting. There's a lot of question marks that if they get answered the right way, this team could be, you know, better than people think. But I wouldn't read too much in the spring training record, just because a lot of these games are being decided after the regulars even come out of the game. So it's always hard to judge by a spring training record.
You know, that's one thing that Lauren and I have said throughout spring training this far. It's tough to not overanalyze and get excited, but also at the same time, especially coming into this season with all the negativity surrounding, you know, everything that happened during the offseason. I'm curious, you know, you see, you know, the names on the roster going into spring training and then ultimately being able to see, you know, how they mold together and perform in regular games. Do you think the team is looking better or worse than maybe you expected?
I think that they look a little better. I mean, I think the one thing they did was, you know, they were aware of the fact that they lost Xander Bogaerts. So they had to build a roster of, you know, older veterans who weren't going to be affected by all the negativity and everything. And, as Alex Cora has put it, you know, Justin Turner, Kenley Jansen, Corey Kluber, you know, these guys don't know. They don't know what happened. They weren't around last year. They weren't around in 2018. They weren't around in 2021. None of that means anything to them. So they're sort of building a new culture on this team. It's sort of a whole, you know, other than Devers and now Chris Sales is back. It's sort of a whole new look to this team. When you look at it, so it's kind of a starting fresh vibe, which I think was important. Because last year you kind of felt like it was just not a good atmosphere in there all year with the contract situations that were going on. And people respected Xander so much that there was some animosity within the room that, he didn't have a contract and he was kind of disenchanted by it. And there was just a lot of – I'll tell you, there was a lot of guys who were in walk years last year. And pretty much, all those guys are gone. So I think that it will be a much better atmosphere this year.
And Chris Sale sort of alluded to, you know, that different feel in spring training, saying, you know, that the competition between some of the positional battles can ultimately help, you know, the competitiveness and the momentum going into the regular season. And, you know, I'm curious from when you were down there, how was the energy sort of around just like the overall team?
Yeah, I'm still down here, by the way. I just had lucky enough to have a day off today. But the energy is very good down there. And Alex Cora, I think, has set a good tone with this team. And just having Chris Sale back, too, that's given a lot of energy, because I felt like the air came out of this team last year when he took that line drive off his finger at Yankee Stadium last year, because they were all sort of building toward making a run behind him. You know, not that you want him to be the savior, but they thought they could make a run with him coming back in the second half. And when he broke that finger, you know, you could just feel, like I said, the air coming out of the team. And now he's back, and I haven't seen him look this happy in a long time. He's been smiling, since the day he got to spring training.
Yeah.
So, you can tell by a player's mood, how they're feeling health-wise, mm-hmm. and he couldn't be happier. He's just soaking it all in. So, you hope that it stays that way for him.
Right. And, it was nice to see him, walking off the mound with a smile on his face, like you mentioned. And, it's also nice to see that, he's coming into camp healthy and, since 2019 hasn't really been fully healthy going into spring training. But it's unfortunate to see some of the other injuries that have popped up for the Red Sox. Obviously, Justin Turner's is one that was really tough to see. But when you look at, Brian Bello, Garrett Whitlock, James Paxton, I saw that you tweet out that Bello ended up throwing a live BP on Saturday. And then, with Whitlock, and then, for the first time they faced hitters, and then Paxton also played catch. And so I'm curious if from what you're hearing and from what you're seeing, do you think all those three players will still miss opening day?
Probably, but I think that we all, as baseball reporters, baseball fans, and baseball people, kind of make too much of opening day. Like, it's the day you circle on the calendar. Like, if a guy misses a week at the beginning of the season, is it really going to make that much of a difference? So I think maybe it was Alex Cora who put it. They'd rather get hit with these little things now than last year. It was all in the middle of the season, mm-hmm. and that's kind of more crushing. So. None of these injuries are particularly serious. Even Justin Turner, as awful as that looked, he dodged a major bullet. They dodged a major bullet. That ball got him like right here, kind of on the bridge of the, mm-hmm. under the nose, bridge of the mouth, and not like in the eye or in the forehead or something. So he has, 16 stitches. Obviously it was painful and tough to watch, but I think, those stitches come out in a couple weeks and, some guys you would worry about how they would be mentally after something like that happens. Because, look, that's scary. We all face our mortality when something like that happens to us. But he's a tough-minded guy. He's a real warrior on the baseball field. He's been through so much in his career already that I think he'll hit the ground. It might take him a while to get his swing mechanics back or whatever, but I think that he's going to be fine. And he's going to be a huge part of this team. He's going to be, I think, the leader of this team in the clubhouse, and just the presence he has. And hopefully he can do the job, on the field too. But none of the injuries and Whitlock, this was all by design, mm-hmm. kind of bringing him along slowly to start the season. Bello, just because he's Bello and such, they were pumped the brakes, very cautious with him. I don't think this thing was a big deal at all. And Paxton, you just feel for that guy because it's like, he made his first minor league rehab start. I think it was last late August, September last year. And he pulled his lat muscle, I think, in the first or second inning. Mm-hmm. And then this thing, it was last Friday. He was pitching great in that game. I mean, he was throwing gas. And then on one pitch, he said he reached back for something extra and he just kind of, strained the hamstring. But it's a very light strain. A lot of guys are getting hamstring stuff down here because I never remember the heat and humidity like this early in camp before. And I think mm-hmm. that as much as these guys all try to stay hydrated, it's hard, when it's this hot and humid. So I think this injury is more a product of that. And hopefully, he's already throwing again, like we said. So hopefully he can get right back on his feet. And because kind of excited about Paxton,
Right.
If he can give them something. I mean, the whole dynamic of this team changes. If you get even like 20 to 25 starts from Sale, 20 to 25 starts from James Paxton, Kluber looks really healthy right now. And he really has learned how to pitch and kind of evolve from the guy who used to throw 95, 96. So I like veteran teams. I really do. And this is a veteran team, maybe too much so. I think they have like the oldest average age in baseball, I think. But when you're in a transition year like the Red Sox are in, I like having a veteran team more than a team with all young guys who, once you hit some adversity, kind of they don't know what to do. I think you have some guys here who can really steady the ship.
I hope that you are enjoying my conversation with Ian Brown. I just want to take a second to talk to you about Built Bar. So if you're looking for a delicious treat but don't want all the fat and calories, then you got to check out Built Bar. We just got through the holidays, and I know at least for me, my goal is to eat a little bit healthier this year. And if you're like me, where you want to eat healthier, but you don't want to compromise the taste, then man, you got to check out Built Bar. The one thing that is pretty crazy about each bar is that they're covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. And they have unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. I don't know how Built does it, honestly. In each bar, they only have 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, with a whopping 17 grams of protein. And now you don't need to wait around to get a box. For years, we've been talking about ordering your Built bars at Built.com. Now you can go to your local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's right. It's that easy. Or if you just want to make it even easier and just order it online and you don't have either of those stores near you, you can just go to Built.com. So make sure to go over and check out Built bars to not only eat healthy, but eat something that also tastes good. Now let's get back into my conversation with Ian Brown.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually in Fort Myers on Thursday and Friday, and boy, you're right, that heat was crazy. And you know, for me as a fan, you know, when buying seats, you want to get as close as possible. And so, you know, that's sort of how I went about it. But then, you know, in the second or third inning, I had to go up to the shaded parts because I was sweating my butt off. But
I
was there when that happened with Paxton, and you know, it was tough to see him, you know, walk off the mound after how well he did. But you know, as you mentioned, you know, if the team is able to have all these guys ultimately, you know, either overachieve or, you know, just be able to stay healthy and give them exactly what most people expect, you know, this could be a 500 over 500 team. And, you know, you brought up the veteran aspect. I think with a lot of these young guys of, you know, Cassis, Bayo, and maybe some others starting to trickle up throughout the end of the year, you know, maybe Valdez, Walter, Mata, how do you think this veteran presence can really help impact and also mentor some of the younger guys coming up?
Yeah, I think it's great. And, you know, I talked to Kenley Jansen about this, and he really takes it seriously, wanting to be a leader, wanting to be there for these younger guys, not just on the pitching staff, but he mentioned Sidon Rafaela. You know, they're both from Curacao. And he said, I'm going to be his big brother, you know, and just to have that kind of guy like Kenley is huge. To have a Justin Turner, it's big. To have Chris Sale back in the mix to mentor the pitchers is really important. So, and then I said, like I said, Turner's really going to help on the position player side of things and in the hitters meetings and all that. So I think, you know, I think it means a lot. Ultimately, they have to play well too, but I mean, I think that, you know, this team, if things go well, you know, I think 85 wins is kind of like, wow, that would be a good season for this team. And you know, these days that can get you in the playoffs, right? Or at least keep you in the hunt the way the format is right now.
Right. And, you know, that's what I know a lot of fans are praying for and hoping for. And you know, one guy going into the season that has a lot of pressure on his shoulders to not only stay healthy, but also to fill in at second base is Christian Arroyo. And it's been nice to see him, you know, starting off the spring on a hot streak, especially offensively. And you even see him, you know, sort of being a leader out there on the field a little bit in multiple different ways. And I'm curious from what you've heard and from what you've seen, what's your assessment on Christian Arroyo going into his first potential full season as a Red Sox starter?
Yeah, I really like Christian. I think that, you know, he's a bit of an undervalued player. I think that when he has been on the field, he has by and large gotten the job done. People forget this is the guy that in 2021, in October, he was playing second base every day. And this team came within 2 wins of getting to the World Series. And I think I think he played every game. And that was after Iglesias had sort of supplanted him as the starter in September when Arroyo got COVID and had I think it was a calf injury or something. And, you know, Arroyo really just stepped right back in. And he's a good player, good defensive player, give you a good at-bat. One of the nicer guys on the team, honestly, very upbeat, very funny.
Yeah.
Really has a big personality. So, yeah, I think that, you know, you don't need to play him to play 162 games. I think that they'll pick their spots with him. And hopefully with Mondesi, Adalberto Mondesi, and, you know, coming back maybe May, somewhere around there. I'm not sure exactly what his timetable is. Trevor Story hopefully coming back around the All-Star break. Then it's not like on Arroyo to play, to be like the Iron Man. He just has to sort of hold down the fort early in the season. So hopefully he can do that.
Yeah, I agree. I had the opportunity to speak with him, you know, last year in Worcester. And as you mentioned, wicked nice guy. And you always see, you know, whether it's the interviews where he interviewed JD Martinez last season or just where he shows off his personality. He's a great clubhouse presence. And, you know, I'm rooting for him to, you know, play good second base and also surprise a lot of people as well. And, you know, it's been interesting to also see sort of a lot of the guys who got signed on minor league contracts and all the question marks surrounding, you know, different positions like, you know, the bench outfield spot or the backup catcher. And, you know, specifically with the backup catcher, Jorge Alfaro seems to have a clear path to sort of secure that, especially with Connor Wong's hamstring injury. And, you know, I saw in your projected opening day roster article, you put Alfaro down as that backup catcher. And I was curious if, do you think he would have made the opening day roster had it been, you know, Connor Wong not, you know, straining his hamstring?
Yeah, you know, I'm still not sure he will. You know, you make those projections and you do the best you can to try to gauge what's going to happen. But the way I look at it is this, with Alfaro, he has that opt-out in his contract. So I think you preserve organizational depth if you keep him on the team and you know, Connor Wong still has options. So then you option Connor Wong, keep him in the organization, and then you have three guys should one of them get hurt or one of them not perform up to expectations. Alfaro's got a little pop in that bat. He can also play a little first base, and he's got some kind of character. He's a fun guy. And just with the big hair and everything, I think he's a guy that the Fenway fans would really sort of rally around. The big question with him is can he improve his receiving skills behind the plate, and he has been working overtime with Jason Varitek, who I can't say enough about Varitek as a catching instructor. Just watching him, you really get a glimpse of him in spring training, because they have this whole setup with the catchers on a cement thing with a rug over it and a cage and all the stuff that he does right in front of the clubhouse, and you see the hands-on instruction he does with these guys, and it's really impressive. You know, what a teacher. So I think if anyone can get Alfaro going and give him sort of crash course in catching, I think it's Jason Varitek. Now Alfaro, he's going to be gone. You know, he's going to play for Colombia in the World Baseball Classic. So he just left. So you don't know how, you know, I don't know if Colombia is really a team that's going to make a deep run in the Classic. So he might not be gone for that long. So I think it'll be good to get him back in camp as soon as possible. And Connor Wong, the jury's still out. You know, can he hit, you know? And I think, boy, if you could put Alfaro's bat with Wong's glove, he would have a hell of a catcher, you know?
Right.
And, you know, Reese McGuire, you know, they're bullish on him. You know, I don't know. He did a nice job last season. He's just kind of that guy. He doesn't excite you, but he just kind of sort of gets the job done behind the plate. And last year he really got into a nice groove at the plate. So we'll see. This is really the first time he's gotten a chance to – catch every day in the big league. So curious to see how that goes also. So the whole catching situation to me is one of the more interesting aspects of this team.
I agree. And, you know, I think it's one that's sort of been brushed under the rug a little bit with all the other question marks as well. And, you know, another guy who's on a minor league deal, Romel Tapia, and, you know, it's sort of a toss-up between him and Jaren Duran on who's going to get that last bench spot. I'm curious from what you've seen from Duran, do you think he's shown enough that he deserves a spot over Tapia?
No, not Duran's fault. And I really don't look at it as much of a toss up right now, because I think that Tapia is sort of made for that fourth, fifth outfielder role, kind of like Ref Snyder. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a guy who can perform in that role. He's been in that role before. He's, you know, he has more of a track record in the major leagues than Duran does. And I think a guy like Duran, you know, you want to keep you want to keep playing him every day. I don't think it does him a lot. So I think the one path for Duran would be like if Adam Duvall just doesn't pan out or he gets hurt or something. But, you know, Duran doesn't do you a lot of good, I don't think, sitting on the bench. I think you want to preserve his trade value also. Mm-hmm. So maybe he's still a guy who gets traded at the end of the day. You know, to me, the way the roster is constructed, Jaren Duran and Bobby Dalbec, who have both been kind of knocking on the door trying to knock on the door to become, you know, good players the last couple years. I don't really see a fit for either of them the way the roster is constructed. So I think that both of those guys are trade candidates, you know, late in spring training.
I hope that you are enjoying my conversation with Ian Brown, but I just want to take a second to talk to you about FanDuel. So it's the midway point of the NBA season, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from money line to point scores and threes drained. Maybe even a futures of if the Red Sox will win the World Series or make the playoffs. And also, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with same game parlay. So if you wanted to do something with the Red Hot Bruins right now, you know, David Pastrnak scores a goal mixed with Bruins money line, something like that, especially with how good they're doing right now, that could definitely hit. So don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. Now let's get back into my conversation with Ian Brown. That makes sense. And I feel like the last bullpen spot is another one that is going to be interesting to see how that all falls. You know, Zach Kelly's obviously a candidate, but one guy who's really impressed is Wyatt Mills. And I'm curious to hear if you think that, you know, he might have a better chance than Zach Kelly or maybe some of the other guys with how he's performed so far in spring training.
Yeah, I think Kelly's going to make the team, but even if he does, I think there's still a spot for Wyatt Mills. And I actually, you know, my roster, I put Winkowski on there only because he's a guy who early in the season can give them some sort of bulk innings. Mm. Because I think originally they looked at Tanner Houck as the guy, as the reliever who's going to give them, you know, 2-3 innings at a time. And I think it's important to have a guy like that. And now it looks like Houck, with the other injuries, will probably start the season in the rotation. So that's why I put Winkowski on the team. But you could well be right that it could be a guy like Wyatt Mills who he has impressed. And there's a reason they like this guy. So, yeah, he's in the mix. But I agree, there's like that one spot that's like Wyatt Mills, Caleb Ort, Winkowski. I think Cutter Crawford right now will be in the rotation at least for the first week or so of the season. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting how they piece it together. But this bullpen on paper looks a hell of a lot better than last year going into the season, that's for sure. That was a huge question I had all last year, even going into this. I'm like, why did they not do more to upgrade the bullpen? And I think that, you know, Chaim Bloom attacked that area this year and he got several relievers. And I think the bullpen, I mean, that's the biggest reason the record was where it was last year. Mm-hmm. So they improve in the bullpen, and that's another thing that could change the dynamic of the team, I think.
I agree. And, you know, it's also interesting to sort of see some of the not only minor league pickups, but some of the other bullpen arms that they picked up that have a similar arm slot to John Schreiber. It seems like he really likes that sort of sidearm type of angle in the arm slot.
Yeah, exactly. No, those arm slots are funky, man. Those aren't comfortable at bats, especially for right-handed hitters. And you saw it with Schreiber last year.
I agree.
And hopefully he picks up right where he left off last year, because he became you know, quite a weapon for this team. But yeah, I mean, could somebody be this year's Schreiber like a Mills, and that would give the bullpen another dimension?
I hope so. And you know, the last thing that I got for you is two words that Lauren and I have used multiple times, almost every single episode throughout this offseason and spring training, is what if and the potential. And, you know, the other thing that, you know, I think is a lot on this Red Sox team is pressure. You know, there's a lot of players that have pressure to either perform, whether it's, you know, their future with the team. You know, you could look at Alex Verdugo, you know, with should they trade him or does he deserve a contract extension? Tanner Houck as well, Christian Arroyo, guy that we brought up, Chris Sale. And I'm curious if you could pick, you know, one guy who might have like the most pressure on his shoulders going into the season.
I don't know about as far as a pressure, but I think that, you know, the one guy that could make just a huge difference on this team is Tristan Casas. Hmm. I mean, I guess there is pressure in a way because they got rid of his security blanket with Eric Hosmer. Mm-hmm. So it's like kind of sink or swim time for Tristan Casas in his rookie year, his first full season in the majors. And I'm sure you've seen some of the quotes this spring. This guy just has a ton of confidence in himself. I would say the last prospect that I saw who came up with this type of confidence was Dustin Pedroia, you know. Really? And So you like that confidence, but you know it's going to look bad if he can't live up to it. So
right.
He could go through some growing pains in the beginning of it, like Pedroia did in 2007, and kind of it was kind of similar, like because Casas came up last year, kind of like Pedroia did late in the 2006 season, and Pedroia took some lumps. Casas, while he did have a good on base percentage and hit some tape measure homers last year, he didn't do much with balls hit in play, struck out a good bit. So, and then you know. If he has a terrible month this year, they've just got to stay the course with him, just like Terry Francona and Theo Epstein did with Dustin Pedroia, and just reap the benefits. But so I think this guy, I mean, he could turn into a rookie of the year, honestly.
Very true.
Like Pedroia did. So I think that this guy has a lot of pressure on him, but he doesn't feel the pressure because he's so confident in himself. He's so self-assured.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very hard worker. He So I think, to me, that's one of the most fascinating guys to watch. He's also, you know, he's a big personality. I'm sure you've seen some of the things written about him. And I think that I feel like watching him on the team, his teammates really haven't embraced him just yet because they're like, oh, he's a rookie and he's, you know, a little bit eccentric. But I think that he's the kind of guy, once he starts producing and becoming a big part of the team, that's when guys will embrace him, and that's when, okay, you're one of us now. I don't care that you paint your fingernails or you know you're sunbathing before the game or whatever. You're hitting big home runs for us and you're getting on base all the time and you're playing a great first base. So suddenly he becomes an integral part of the team. So I think that's the guy that Casas and Yoshida, another guy we haven't talked about, but those are two guys I'm really looking forward to watching them play, kind of to see what they become this season.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, with Casas, I talked to him down in Worcester, and he had the most maturity and as you mentioned, confidence as well that I had ever seen in a prospect. And you know, I think it helps with that, at least on the mental aspect. When you heard with what happened with Jaren Duran, you know, with his mental struggles up in the majors last year. And it was funny when I was out in Fort Myers, I said to Casas right after the lizard sort of quote came out, he was like doing running drills. I'm like, come on, Tristan, you're faster than that lizard. And like gave me like a smirk. He's like, you know it, bro. And so he's a great guy and somebody that I'm excited to see how he continues to grow throughout this season. But I really appreciate all your insight and your time, Ian, and for always, you know, coming on and giving some great points. And so for anybody that wants to, you know, support you with your articles on MLB.com or, you know, check out some of your tweets, where can they find all that stuff?
Yeah, RedSox.com is where most of my stories are. And at Ian M. Brown, Brown with an E for the tweets. And I have a newsletter that comes out every week that's pretty easy to sign up for. It comes out right now. It comes out every Wednesday, and we put an excerpt on the site, and there's a place right there to sign up. You know, it's a nice mix of you know, current Red Sox and nostalgia Red Sox, and it's going to be coming out twice a week once the season starts. So I think that people really like that, and it comes right to you. You don't have to go look for it. So I encourage people to sign up for my Red Sox Beat newsletter, you know, as soon as possible.
Yeah, everybody go and check that out, and really appreciate it, Ian.
All right, great being on with you, Jake. Glad we could talk some baseball this time.
Yeah, thank God. I hope that you did enjoy my conversation with Ian Brown and got a little bit of insight, not only about if the Red Sox being undefeated really matters, how you should really assess all the injuries piling up, as well as give you some clarity on the different positional battles that are currently going on right now in Red Sox spring training. But we're going to continue to keep you posted about everything that is happening regarding the Boston Red Sox on this podcast 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. So if you have not yet, make sure to subscribe over on YouTube or whatever audio platform that you listen to. We want to thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. Now make your second listen and check out Locked On Fantasy Baseball. Win your league by listening to Matt and Dom every day as they bring you the best fantasy draft strategies. You can find Locked On Baseball wherever you get your podcasts and over on YouTube. I know I want to win my league. I'm definitely going to go and check it out. So make sure you do too. Also, make sure to follow us over on Twitter. It's LO_Red Sox. With a lot of the episodes that we do, we'll use fan comments or fan replies in each episode to help, you know, keep this podcast, the most fan engaging Red Sox podcast that there is out there, because we want to hear your thoughts and we also want to share your opinions to help make this show even more knowledgeable and even more fun to listen to. So if you know you follow us over on Twitter, anytime we post an episode, most likely we'll make a tweet about what we're talking about and ask for your opinions, and then you can be in an episode. So make sure to follow us over there. Also, make sure to follow myself on Twitter. It's at Jake Iggy. And also Lauren is La La La, three laws, Lauren with four R's. But I want to thank you so much for tuning in. We hope that you have a great rest of your day. And we'll end it how we always end it. Keep the faith and let's go Sox. Peace.